Hey, it's your boy, our dog, your homeboy, MJ Gunner, Sons of Legends in the building, and we back, baby, I said we back, baby, I said we back, hey, I said we back, and we on the attack, let's go. I thought I was gonna fit some verses, but I didn't. Boy, our dog and your homeboy MJ Gunner. Tell us why, Gunner. Why do you love Christmas so much?
Well, it's just, it's everything. You know, cold weather and the lights. And, to be honest with you, this holiday season, it's when, people really find their humanity, you know? There's all this talk about goodwill and peace on earth, and people act like decent human beings around the holidays, and I feel like that should happen more often.
Right.
Like, this should not just happen
around Christmas time.
This, around the holiday seasons, you know? Let's keep this going.
That's right. I love the holiday seasons for what?
Gifts. Yeah, well, that's also a positive fact.
I always get a new wrestling shirt every year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Wifey gives me what she knows I like, and I love it. I love giving my kids gifts and all of that stuff.
Yep.
I love hanging out with my family and doing what we do.
Yeah, it's go time, man.
My headphones opened up and kind of threw Gunner off there for a second. He didn't know what was going on.
I was about to mad because that would not be the first time his headphones have been on and we're doing the show
and the whole time audio. The whole time it's in my ear.
Like, come on.
But yeah, man, we got so much stuff to get into. I'm glad that we waited to do the show because we've had a couple of breaking news stories.
I think we should start with the one that just happened.
Yeah, okay, so recently at a house show, Jeff Hardy, Xavier Woods, and
Drew McIntyre
faced the Bloodline. And in the middle of the match, man, Jeff Hardy walked out pretty much.
Yeah, he walked out to the crowd, and he didn't come back. Rumor is he didn't feel very well. That's why he left. And then WWE, they sent him home off the tour. And today, it's been broken that WWE has actually let Jeff Hardy go.
Yeah, they released him. I think it's been a long time coming, though. I think Jeff, ever since he came back, he's had a loyal fan base, like,
right,
through and through. Jeff has had one of the most loyal fan bases in the wrestling business, I want to say.
Yeah, we say it all the time on this show.
And they're pretty much, they haven't done anything with him. And I don't know if it's frustration or, you know, seeing Matt doing well in the indies or what it is, but he just doesn't seem like he's feeling it anyway.
Yeah, but one of the things that we've been, the main story we've been hearing is that WWE offered to send him to rehab and Jeff didn't want to go.
And it wouldn't be the first time that he refused rehab either.
You know?
So,
and if that's the situation and if Jeff has kind of gone off the wagon again, personally, I hope he does step away for a while, gets himself in line and everything. You know, he does well for himself. Right now, I'm not worried about Jeff Hardy, the wrestler. I'm worried about Jeff Hardy, the man.
Exactly. You know? Because Jeff, this isn't the first time that Jeff Hardy's been through this type of thing. I mean, we watched his thing in TNA where he came to the matches high and they had to, you know, go on the fly. We watched the last time when he had The Undertaker shake his hand and they offered him to go to rehab and he's like, nah, I got it type thing. So, I mean, he's battling these demons and has been for years.
Yeah, and I just hope that he gets himself well and he gets everything under control. And when he's in a better spot, you know, maybe go to someplace else. But I hope right now he just, you know, takes time to focus on himself and get himself right for himself and his family.
And the one thing that I don't want to happen, I don't want AEW to sign him under the condition that he's in. Because a lot of people, the same way TNA looked past it then and and end up suffering for it, I don't want AEW to grab him and then suffer for it because he can't perform.
Yeah, you know, I think that, I hear he's got the 90-day thing, you know, because that's what happens when people get released from WWE, but I think it'll have to be longer than that.
Even if he does do 90 days, is he going to do the 90 days in a rehab? Is he going to do the 90 days getting sober
or
at home bettering himself? You know what I'm saying? The 90 days not wrestling isn't the point. The point is he cannot come back in the same condition that he left in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm wondering what it was, because I know Jeff looks like he's in pain all the time. And if you're taking painkillers or anything like that, you can get addicted when you're in pain all the time.
I mean, with all the things that he's put himself through in the wrestling business, I would not be too hard to believe that he's hurting and everything.
Exactly.
Kind of hurts to walk, probably.
Yeah, when you look at him, like, I watch the grimaces on his face while he's wrestling. And it looks like he's uncomfortable every time he's in there, dude. Man. And he just keeps doing it.
I mean, it's a love for the business, and I get that.
Yeah.
But right now, I think that he definitely needs
without to take your some body, time away. There is no business.
Right now, I definitely think he needs to take some time away and, you know, just do his best for him. And I definitely wish him well. You know, speedy recovery, whatever it is he's going through.
Exactly.
You know, get well soon, Jeff.
Get well, dude, because you got a fan base that will not let it go. That will not let it go.
I mean, even Nation want what's best for him.
Exactly. It's not about wrestling anymore.
Right.
We're going to get wrestling regardless. He's just a spoke on the wheel.
But, I wouldn't say spoke on the wheel, but yeah, like I said earlier.
I mean, that wheel's going to keep turning, dude.
Like I said earlier, I'm not concerned with Jeff Hardy, the wrestler. It's Jeff Hardy, the man, that needs to, you know,
step away for a second
and get
himself
together.
Well, talking about people stepping away, let's talk about the two NXT people that are leaving that had their last matches.
Man, you just feel the emotion. It's last week on NXT. You know Johnny Gargano and Kyle O'Reilly's contracts are up.
Yep.
And last week on NXT, they both kind of, they were hinting that this would be it, for at least for a while with Johnny anyway. Kyle, he loses the steel cage match to Devon Wagner. And Johnny Gargano, he had a big emotional speech at the end of NXT, didn't get attacked anyway by
Grayson Waller.
You know, and if it's good for them in NXT, I'm definitely going to miss them. You know,
bro,
they were...
You know how hard this hit home for me.
Yeah.
I was down in my little room, ready to shed tears like crazy. Because the moment he came... First off, if you don't know, a year ago, he got rid of the Rebel Heart.
Mm-hmm.
It was... No heart, all soul.
Right.
Then a year later in War Games, he brings it back. So it was already hitting for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next night when he, you know, Candace is there, pregnant as ever.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes out and the look on his face just soaking it all in for like the last time. It hit. Because everybody should know Johnny Gargano is my favorite wrestler in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Period. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I've been pushing this guy on Gunner since he was a vanilla babyface, as Gunner called him.
And it took me a little while longer to get acquainted with Johnny Gargano. I don't know what word I'm trying to say. It took me a little while longer to get used to him. I mean, he was always having great matches. I've never once said he was a bad wrestler. It's just... You know, when he did go heel and he started to show off more of the personality and show how damn funny he is, that's when I really started to become a Johnny Gargano fan. I'm going to miss the way. I love the way.
I mean, the way was already over when they exchanged Dexter for Austin Theory. Austin Theory had an element that Dexter just can't bring. And, I mean, the way was the best, I'm going to say the best faction that NXT probably ever had. I mean, no chops at the Undisputed Era.
That's kind of a...
That's kind of an argument
to have there.
Name a promo that the Undisputed Era had. Boom! Name a promo that the Way had.
It was the one where...
See, that's what I'm saying. You got so many that automatically pop in your head with them. The Christmas promo. Yeah. He gave her the name.
The Christmas promo.
Gave her the family name.
Yeah.
You know, the wedding.
The wedding.
Just,
the
bachelorette party.
The bachelorette party.
They gave you so... I mean, Johnny Gargano... From his first run as tag team champs with DIY, to the run as champ, to the run as North American champ, to, I mean, everything he's done, I am going to miss my favorite wrestler in NXT.
I mean, to be completely honest with you, though, I mean, yeah, he's probably stepping away for a while because, you know,
Candace
he says that
Candace
is going to have the baby and everything, but they did not exactly close the door on... A return to WWE.
That's what I'm hoping. I don't want him to go somewhere else because it's going to be a different Johnny wrestling.
You know, because I doubt that he takes his stuff with Grayson Waller just laying down. And he's just out the door because normally when people leave, you know, when they put somebody over, they'll put somebody over in a match like Kyle O'Reilly did, you know. I can't really remember too many times when people give the emotional speech and then they get attacked after the speech and that's just it.
Only legends.
Yeah, legends, they do that sometimes.
But I can't remember anyone who was actually leaving the company who gets a moment.
Yeah.
Who's just leaving the company.
You right.
know what I mean? That's not how they generally
yeah.
do things. That's why I'm expecting... him to come back, because normally they try to push you down the card so you go over there in a worse state than they had you.
Truth be told, I'm hoping Kyle O'Reilly leaves for one very selfish reason, at least for me anyway.
Red Dragon, baby!
I can't even fathom that it might happen.
Red Dragon versus FTR.
Bobby Fish has the music. All we need is Kyle O'Reilly to go over there and the group's back, man. My favorite tag team of this decade is back.
Not just that, but they're over there with the Bucks, with FTR, with the Lucha Bros.
Oh, I'm getting excited just thinking about it.
I've been waiting on Kyle to leave.
I've been waiting
on him to leave ever since
Bobby
Fish.
Do us a favor.
And... oh, my God. I am ecstatic even thinking about the tag team division over there. It's already on fire.
Exactly. And then Red Dragon would just...
set it
up. Add so much to that.
It would make them officially the greatest tag team promotion in the business.
Because I think that they do have the best tag team division like
right
now.
They already do.
But getting Red Dragon would just be a step ahead.
Yeah, that's a killer move right there.
And when I say Red Dragon, I mean Red
Bobby
Dragon.
Fish
you know,
and Kyle
not
O'Reilly.
Not a little Undisputed Era reunion
Stable.
And
yeah.
everything. I understand, you know, I love the Undisputed Era. You know, they're one of my favorites. When I say Red Dragon, I mean Red Dragon.
We don't mean
Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish.
We don't mean where they can play the Freebird rule
right.
and switch out Adam Cole anytime they want.
But Adam Cole's with the Bucks, and I'm hoping that it stays that way. I like the super click, too.
They'd be the super duper click if they got Red Dragon
yeah.
to roll with them.
But
I'd rather see Kyle come in, tell Bobby Fish to come with him, and the Bucks have a problem with it, and they feud that way.
I mean, I could sit there and watch Red Dragon versus the Young Bucks all day.
All day long. All day
like,
long.
They did the thing in Ring of Honor a few years ago, and that was great. Like, that was when Ring of Honor had the most had the best tag team division in wrestling.
Yep, they did, because they had the Briscoes, the Bucks, Red Dragon. Like, they had everybody back then. And that's why WWE kind of poached the indies and snatched up all their stars. I mean, all their stars.
Yeah, it was kind of a poaching. They snatched up
Keith Lee, Matt Riddle, Red Dragon, Adam Cole, Daniel Bryan. I mean, they snatched up everybody from the indies that they could. Samoa Joe, CM Punk. Like, they left them hurting. Like, it almost probably would have folded if it wasn't for Nick Gage.
Now, before we get off this thing with Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner, because I like to talk about this really quick. I get that they were trying to have Kyle O'Reilly put him over going out the door, and that's a good idea. Just not sure how well that worked.
Because he didn't get a definitive win.
No, my thing is, the second NXT 2.0 started, they took Kyle O'Reilly, and with all the other people that were already there, except for pretty much Tommaso Ciampa, they played him down. And now getting a win over him, it doesn't mean as much. He doesn't have the same momentum he had when he was facing Finn Balor for the NXT title. You know, it kind of let Kyle cool off a little bit. And then...
Right, he spent weeks off of TV.
Right.
And then they brung him back, and he's getting attacked all the time.
He took the pinfall at War Games.
Yeah, they threw him in a tag team and made Von Wagner seem like the person that was getting Kyle on track.
Yeah, you know, it kind of put Von Wagner over Kyle O'Reilly at that point. In the
tag team, exactly. He was getting all the pinfalls.
Right.
And all that stuff, and every time they lost, Kyle got pinned.
It just does not hit the same as it would have if they would have kept Kyle O'Reilly's momentum down there.
And not just that, but the way he won doesn't give him, like, it doesn't make him seem stronger because he didn't get a clean win. He hit him with a low blow, staring him in the face.
Yeah.
And then hit his little underhook turnout slam and got the pin, but the low blow just made it worse because he couldn't get a definitive win over Kyle O'Reilly.
I think I've been pretty vocal about how I'm not a very big fan of them bringing in the new people and shooting them straight to the top and then, you know, just pushing everybody that was already there down and then expecting it to really work when they try to put them over. Like, that's not really going to work now.
Because they didn't build them at all.
You don't have the big stars now to put them over because you pretty much cooled off all the big stars that were down there.
And not only that, but you had them. You had the stars cool off and then had them come in to already cool NXT.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was already cooled down. People were already starting to not be fans of it anymore because all of their favorite stars were leaving and getting pulled up, and then you were releasing them.
Yeah.
Like, Hit Row. That made me upset.
Man, I'm still not ready to talk about that. I'm still upset.
I was so excited to finally have, like, after Street Profit left, it left a void, just a hip-hop void. There were no, like, black groups around. The Hurt Business had been dismantled. Like, there was a straight void for a black faction. Hit Row came and filled that void of all of it. The hip-hop, the faction, the African-Americanism, the laid-back-ism. The female that was going to be hip to the game.
And they had a star in Swerve.
And a big man and a bodyguard and Top Dollar. That I'm like, oh, this is it.
They had it right there.
And I was so excited right off the bat. I was so excited. And then they pulled them up. I'm like, oh, no. They're gonna job them out on the main roster.
Not even a month later.
They didn't even job them out. They just killed them by taking away B-Fab and then released everybody else. I didn't even understand.
I don't get it.
And now there's, again, a huge void.
Yeah, well, that void's going to be there for a while. I mean, I like Carmelo.
I like Melo and Trick.
They're pretty cool. You know, Carmelo's doing his thing with the NXT North America.
I like Melo and Trick. Don't get me wrong, but that's not a faction.
That's not a faction. That's true.
That's a star and a bodyguard.
Right.
And speaking of Melo and Trick, like, Trick was supposed to wrestle this week against a returning Dexter Lumis. And Melo end up wrestling the match. Why isn't Trick gotten in the ring yet?
I think that I've probably said this on the show before too, that people really downplay a manager, a good manager too, because they work together. Trick doesn't really have to wrestle.
Yeah, but he's a wrestler though. You know, he's been in the ring.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, the way that they work right now, Trick doesn't really have to wrestle. You know? And I think I would prefer
if he didn't.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think that everybody should just be
wrestling. I don't think B-Fab should be.
Because if you're not wrestling, you're not doing anything in wrestling, apparently. And exactly. That's not the case.
I don't think B-Fab should have gotten the ring. Electra Lopez.
Was a good manager.
They're both good managers and a good look for a faction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm wondering, I'm hating everything that they're doing with Legado, because Legado is one of those groups that people have been itching for them to get something for a while.
I like Legado too, a lot.
People have been itching. They chant their names every time they come out. Like, it's like they're intentionally not listening to us.
I think what it is that they're making us wait for it. How long are we supposed to wait?
No, by the time... That's the problem. If you keep waiting, there will be no right time.
That's the thing, you know. Eventually, we're going to be like, fine, we don't want this anymore.
No, we don't.
And that's the thing.
We already don't. Because now you've got one whole faction of four people. Santos, you know, DJ, Joaquin, Electra Lopez. And Raul Mendoza. Got all four of them going after one guy who always ups them.
Who's that guy?
Zion Quinn. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Big guy, you know what I'm saying? But if he's feuding with them, then they should be getting the best of him every time because they have the numbers.
Exactly. There's three of them. Well, four of them if you count Electra Lopez, you know. How's one guy being in the faction?
And I hate when they do stuff like that. They did that to the League of Nations. They did that. They do that when they don't. And the League of Nations had all champions.
I like the League of Nations.
And
that
they were getting dismantled by Roman alone.
Right. One guy beats an entire faction. That's not believable. At least not to me anyway.
Especially when it's a faction that people like.
Yeah.
And, I mean, because people like Toxic Attraction. I don't see them doing that to them.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they lost War Games.
Yeah.
But that was crazy.
Speaking of that, you want to get into War Games?
Yeah, go ahead. Jump on in.
First was the women's War Game match.
Which was great.
Yeah, it was great.
It had some spots that I had never seen before.
Everybody's talking about
Cora Jade.
Cora Jade and the move that she did.
She went for a Swanton and under-rotated. And ended up, she went through, but only her bottom half went through the table. But she landed awkwardly on her shoulder.
Right. And then she's selling a shoulder injury for the rest of the match. They want to pull her out. And then Io Shirai, you know, says, I got this. And it grabs her and it pops her shoulder back into place. Yeah, that was a great spot. That's how I kind of knew that it was selling. You know, because I highly doubt that they would have let her put her shoulder back in if that was a real injury.
Exactly. But, I mean, it was a great spot.
Yeah, it was a good spot.
The spot where Raquel put Gigi in the trash can and swung her and threw the trash can.
Yeah.
That was a great spot. They had some great moments, dude, but it ended up with Raquel hitting the power bomb on Mandy Rose, and Mandy's laid out, and Cora's everybody else is laid out, and Cora just kind of crawling to the pin when she gets the opportunity. I think that was anticlimactic, but it worked.
Yeah, I definitely think it worked. It did make Cora Jade look pretty tough. You know, it made her look good, I think.
Yeah, Cora Jade is probably the person that they're going to push in the women's division. I mean, she's okay with it.
Yeah.
I kind of think that she's like a Liv Morgan 2.0 from NXT. You know how Liv was the New Jersey kind of...
Yeah.
I mean, it's given that kind of vibe, but I like the skater chick vibe.
Yeah.
We haven't really had a person with, you know, riding down on a skateboard and things like that. Like, I like Cora Jade.
One person who I don't think looked very good coming out of War Games would be Mandy Rose. I say this because, you know, going into War Games, I was hoping to see... You know, more of the wrestler side of Mandy Rose. And I didn't get that, you know. She was the last one out. You know, the last one to get into the cage. And she wasn't really in there that long. You know, didn't really do a lot when she got into the match.
But when you think about it, though, in the women's War Games matches, when I think about it, most of the time the champ gets pinned.
Yeah, that's true. But the champ also has a good showing, you know? They're not just there.
Not necessarily, because last year, it was all about Raquel Gonzalez, and Io was champ, and she got pinned by Raquel.
But Io also had her spots in that match.
She had the moonsault off the cage, but she always has a spot off the cage. And this year, it was Cora Jade that got that spot.
No, what I'm saying is...
You're saying that they highlight the champion in some way, shape, or form. And they didn't do that to Mandy Rose.
I definitely feel like they needed to do that with Mandy Rose. Just people would take her more seriously as a women's champion. I mean, that title has a lot of heritage. You know, that title is a workhorse title. Yeah. You know, think about all the women.
The women who wrestle.
Think about all the women who have held that title. People like Charlotte Flair and Sasha and Asuka and Rhea Ripley. And Shayna Baszler, these women, they were workhorses. They held that title with iron fists. You know, that was their division, and they did that through their in-ring work.
And Mandy Rose doesn't feel like she's doing that through her in-ring work. It feels like she's doing it with promos and backup.
Yeah, and I get that, you know, and you know, she's a heel champion. I understand that. It's just, I kind of want to see her
in a tough match.
You know, get in there and, you know, really get down and dirty. Duke it out.
I felt like she did that when she faced Raquel.
I mean, that's just one match, though.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to take more than one match to get more of that reputation.
And not only that, she's still one that would help because Dakota Kai helped her.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I get what you're saying.
It's kind of the situation with Randy Orton when he was the Intercontinental Champion, and then Mick Foley comes in and makes it believable that he's a tough guy.
That's what I'm looking for. You have to be a tough guy to like get slammed in thumbtacks and fire, barbed wire, and things like that. Like those type of matches make people look at you differently.
That's what they tried
to intend to do with the match with Raquel Gonzalez. But the only thing is, there was like no blood. There was no thumbtacks. There was no spots where you'd say, oh, I can't believe Mandy got up from that.
I'm looking for somebody to come in there and help validate Mandy Rose's title reign. As a real wrestler and her title reign and then with the NXT Women's title.
I get what you mean. It still feels like she's making it off her beauty.
And that sucks because she does have it in the ring. At least I think so.
They gave me everything I asked for with her. So I can't complain. Because I said, number one, take her out of the tag division. Number two, give her some lackeys to make her feel like a veteran.
Right.
Number three, give her the running bicycle knee as a finisher and quit making her do the impact buster. They did all that. Can't complain, bro.
I get it.
But I get what you're saying, but I can't complain. They did everything I asked for.
And I like Toxic Attraction. I really do.
It makes Mandy Rose feel like the veteran. It makes that bicycle knee as devastating as she always has.
She does.
And I mean, they took her out of the tag division.
I'm just looking for somebody to help her really get off the ground as a wrestler.
You want her to look to be feared as champion.
Pretty much, you know. Let's see a dominant run or something.
Because every time she goes in, it's like she's the underdog.
Exactly.
No matter who the challenger is.
People don't really take her wrestling skills as seriously as they could or they probably should, you know, as long as she's been doing it and as good as she is, because she's pretty good.
She's good. I mean, she's tough too, so
yeah,
I can't complain, though, because everything I wanted them to do with her, they did exactly what I said. Only thing that they didn't do was do it on the main roster.
Right, I get you.
I don't know why she had to go back down to NXT in order for this to happen.
Another match that happened at TakeOver was Cameron Grimes and Duke Hudson and a hair versus hair match.
I wasn't even looking forward to it.
I kind of missed this feud.
Duke Hudson and Cameron Grimes were playing poker. Cameron kind of hustled him, saying he didn't know how to play. Kept winning. And then they had a poker showdown on NXT. Cameron Grimes won that. Duke Hudson beat him up and cut off his hair and some of his beard.
But I saw that part, and Cameron comes out there and says that, you know, my hair and my beard was, you know, they're part of where I come from.
Exactly.
And they're a part of who I am, and yeah, he always upset.
And they had... The only thing that puzzles me, man, is why they have the barber chair in the middle of the ring when they had the match.
I don't know.
That threw me all the way off. You know what I'm saying? But Cameron Grimes picks up the win, cave in. Duke Hudson tries to burn out. Cameron Grimes knocks him out, puts him in the chair, starts shaving his hair, and then he wakes up looking and half his hair is gone.
Yeah. And then Imperium defended the NXT Tag Team titles against... Kyle O'Reilly.
Man, y'all better put some respect on Imperium name, baby. I'm telling y'all. Y'all keep overlooking them because Walter ain't with them. But Imperium is a sick team.
I know this is weird coming from me, but I'm still looking for the big impact. I know that they're a good team.
Man, they
but
sick.
I'm just looking for something for me to stick with them. You know? Really looking for
the mat is sacred. And the thing that sticks out to me is Bartel always asking Fabian Aichner, why are you speaking English to them? Like, don't give them that luxury. And then they start speaking in another language and they have to caption it at the bottom. Like, we all know it's not live shows, but how can you caption something live? Especially if the captioner doesn't know what language they're speaking. It's just funny to me. I like Imperium, and I think they've already proven themselves in the ring. What you're waiting on is a character that stands out without Walter.
Yeah, you know, because with Walter, Imperium was a pretty feared group. You know, Walter, it was them, and I think it was Alexander Wolf.
Yeah.
It just feels like... something has been pulled apart from the bigger group, and I was just the two of them. You know, this isn't exactly the Imperium that I'm used to seeing.
Yeah, but Imperium is a... Man, y'all gonna put some respect on them. I don't know what they gotta do, but I respect them wholeheartedly.
I'm not saying I don't respect them.
They is a cold team. They is one of the best teams in NXT, period. They in-ring style is unmatched. Like, they are crazy to me. I mean, you got, like, Aichner, who's, like, this little cruiserweight-style heavyweight killing things out here. He can do the springboard moonsaults and still lift a 400-pound guy. Mm-hmm. Killer. Bartel hits so hard. Those European uppercuts be slapping.
I get it.
Nine, you don't get it.
I guess I just want to see more of them to so I could really, you know, start to get
connect
with them and really get behind them.
But yeah, they pick up the win over O'Reilly and Wagner, and then Wagner tries to attack O'Reilly. O'Reilly sees it coming, hits him with the axe and smash, knocks him out, and then he throws up the Undisputed sign.
Yeah, you know, he says, this is a brotherhood.
This was a brotherhood.
And it gives the Undisputed sign. That's another sign that a lot of people are, that's another sign that a lot of people are saying that he's leaving.
Right, he threw it up and gave him the suckets.
Yeah.
So he paid homage to two people all at once.
Yeah.
Well, to a lot of people at once, because he, you know, Tripp and Sean really had a lot of impact on these NXT guys when they got there. Mm-hmm. That was like their baby. That's why NXT was so good back then, because it was Sean and Hunter's baby.
Right.
And he did, like, I mean, we can go back and watch those backstages and watch how he reacted to everybody, how he really loved them. The way he nurtured the women's division with Sasha and them. And he's like, every meeting that they had, it felt like family discussing what happened. It was great. He gave them accolades and told them what was up next. Now, it don't feel like that no more.
It doesn't.
It feel like a bunch of freshmen walking into the high school. And all the seniors are like, man, I'm going to miss this school.
Freshman, this our school now.
This our school now.
What you talking about? This our school now.
Forget about it. Tony D'Angelo in the corner. Mello and Trick over there. Bron Breakker standing in the middle of the commons area giving a speech. And anyway, the seniors all just standing in the back like, man, look what they finna do to our school.
Man, they done replaced us. We already got a place. We're still here.
Man, it's so weird to see, but
yeah. And then anyway, main event was the NXT Blu-ray. Black and White, Black and Yellow against NXT 2.0.
No respect.
Black and Gold against NXT 2.0. It was Kyle O'Reilly, Pete Dunne. Wait, no, not Kyle. Pete Dunne, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, and LA Knight against Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes,
Grayson Waller, and Tony D'Angelo. Hey, Waller had the highlight to me, though. I love that Mamba elbow.
Yeah. I like Waller a lot.
That's a sick elbow drop.
He's one of my favorite new guys. I really like Grayson Waller.
I think my favorite new guy is Melo.
Yeah, I like Melo too.
I've liked Melo since the beginning. It's something about him, man. He's different.
Mm.
I don't know if it's his style, because it's a controlled sloppy. And it's real different when you have a controlled sloppy style. Like, Jeff Hardy has a controlled sloppy mm-hmm. style. Mick Foley has a controlled sloppy style.
Mm-hmm.
None of Melo's moves look good until he does it.
Right, I get
that. That clothesline looks so weird. That springboard clothesline is from such a weird angle that it looks like he's going to do like a body splash or something. But he springboards and he could jump the length of the ring with that springboard. That finisher that he has, that like scissors kick off the top rope.
Mm-hmm.
It looks so ugly beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird. He's different. So watch out for him. They're putting a rocket on Bron.
Yeah, he's pretty much what they're looking for.
He's big.
He's strong. Microphone.
Say it.
I'm not saying it.
He's Scott Steiner rebirthed. Say it.
It's true, though.
And what really puzzles me about WWE is they banned Scott Steiner from WWE and then gave Bron Breakker everything Scott Steiner does. Johnny Gargano even called him the big bad booty nephew.
Oh, my God. God.
And the crowd start chanting, Booty Nephew.
Oh, that's such a Booty so cringy. Nephew. That is so cringy. What kind of a name is that? It's just cringy, man.
It's just the I just don't. I mean, if just because he's the Steiner's nephew, just because he's Scott Steiner's nephew, doesn't mean he has to be Scott Steiner.
Yeah, they do share a lot of similarities.
Ain't no similarities. It's the exact same thing. The sirens at the beginning of the theme song. The hopping when you come out, showing the muscles. Mm-hmm. Only thing he does is break. Because he's a breaker. He does the Steiner recliner. No, he does the military press.
You're really not one to make this argument, considering who your favorite women's wrestler of all time is. Hey, okay?
I've never seen Ric Flair do a corkscrew moonsault.
She's elevated his moves, but it's still her.
You know what? They even botched the same. Remember when Scott Steiner went for that axe handle off the apron and fell on test? And then he goes for it off the second rope on Tommaso Ciampa and falls?
I'm just saying.
The exact same thing.
A lot of people do this. You know, especially when they have famous parents or family members. You know, they come in and they have the person's
could you imagine Cowboy Randy Orton?
Okay, fine. Randy's different. But Charlotte did it. Let's see. Braun Breaker does it.
That's about...
There's a lot of people. I think Natalya does it.
I think the difference with everybody else is most of them aren't banned from WWE, so they're actually handing the mantle down. They're either coming out with them or, you know, making an appearance with them.
Yeah, I get that.
Or a promo with them. Scott Steiner is literally banned from your company.
If you don't want Scott Steiner, then don't have Scott Steiner 2.0.
Yeah, don't create Scott Steiner again. Oh, we're going to put sirens in the beginning of your song. You're going to come out and flex. You're going to military press people. And
he's even got the same wrestling attire the Steiners used to wear.
The singlet.
And it's got, then they used to come out sometimes in the tie-dye stuff too.
Back when they were the Steiner brothers.
Yeah, back when they were the Steiner brothers.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he's even got their attire.
He's exactly what they banned. So why do they want it if they banned it?
Like I said, a lot of people play off their famous family members.
I get it. And I don't have any beef with Braun Breaker for what's happening. Yeah. And actually, I think that he might be the one. I mean, I don't want to say he's the one to strap the rocket on, because I see two guys that might be better. And I'm not even going to lie. I think Joe Gacy has the strongest character right now.
Oh, Lord. God.
I really do.
I do too, yo. It's definitely something that I didn't think we'd ever see, because I could imagine the backlash that his character's getting.
Or he is like PC principal on steroids.
They're making fun of us, pretty much. Something like that. The cruiserweight division is,
and he did it.
Oh, I remember.
He's the first person to compete for the cruiserweight title at War Games, not being a cruiserweight, besides Kevin Nash.
I forgot. Yeah, it was Roddy and Joe Gacy for the cruiserweight title too.
And I don't like what everybody else got involved.
I don't like what they're doing with the cruiserweight title.
No, I mean actually. They might be ready to get rid of it.
Well, then, call it something else then, because apparently Roddy's going to face...
Joe Gacy should have won it then.
Roddy's going to face Braun Breaker, I think, next week.
Exactly.
I don't know if the title's on the line, but...
It's not, because he said the cruiserweight title weight limit was lifted at War Game with Joe Gacy facing, and then he said the words that came out of Malcolm Bivens' mouth was... There is no one else. Roddy cleared out the division.
Well, it is pretty cleared out.
So, if there is no one else, they should have let Joe Gacy win it and turn it into the inclusivity title.
The inclusive title.
Yeah, the inclusive title. This title has... This was their chance for their X division.
Well, if it's going to be an inclusive title, then why would that exclude women, though?
Exactly! Because... Remember, he was going to face a woman. He was going to face a cruiserweight, a woman, and a super heavyweight all in one match. And then Roddy Nim interrupted him.
Yeah.
When he was about to face the woman.
Like, I can kind of get behind an exclusive title.
Boom!
That's kind of cool to me. It's different.
I think Joe Gacy is the guy.
Like, yeah, I definitely wish they would have went with this.
See? And at first you didn't get it.
Yeah, I get it now.
I'm telling you, Joe Gacy has the strongest, and with Harlan behind him.
I think it's funny the way he comes out there and he says that the ring is my safe space.
It is a safe space.
And all this other stuff he says.
You're free to express yourself in here. But when we step out of the ring, we hug each other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when he was beating people, he'd hug them and walk away.
I like this character.
I think Joe Gacy is the guy.
Yeah, I like Joe Gacy.
I think Melo's good, too, but Bron Breakker seems to be, but he's everything that Vince wants.
That's the thing. He's the poster boy. He's everything that they look for in a superstar. You know, big guy, and he can move, and...
That's it.
That's pretty much
that's
it.
All, that's all he needs.
That's all you got. That's all he needs.
All he needs is action figure type shape, looking like Rambo or something. That's all he needs is a bunch of muscles and to be able to move and comprehend enough. Because his promos aren't that great. It's just that he's able to say things that people aren't. Like, he's the anti-hero.
Right, I get that.
So he gets to tell people, I'm going to kick your ass, and I'll throw you into the fifth row.
Right.
Get to the point before I throw you in the fifth row.
but speaking of changes that are in NXT, this is a definite change. Beth Phoenix is going off of commentary.
I'm going to miss her too,
yeah, me
man.
Me too. I'm going to miss her.
I can't wait until next week, dog. Because next week, you guys got to join us because we'll be talking about our favorite NXT moments because NXT is actually no more.
Yeah, it's NXT 2.0 now.
It's pretty much gone. It's dead. And we have to look back on the memories that we
had. It's not exactly dead. It just changed it.
It's dead.
The old days are dead, but NXT's still around. They just changed it.
Yeah, it's over. I mean, I remember from them starting the game show NXT.
Yeah.
And then from after that, it actually becoming developmental. When they bought FCW, that changed the game.
We had something great.
We didn't just have something great. We had the greatest promotion on the planet at one point in time.
That's definitely true. And
at least 3 or 4 years straight.
It just makes me, sad to see things change, man. I don't like change. Especially when there's nothing wrong.
I don't like change. What's happening here? I don't like change.
Family Guy reference.
We're Family Guy heavy in this household.
I don't like change. But anyway. Like I said, there was nothing wrong with the old NXT.
Actually, NXT was the best promotion that we had for a while.
For a good long while
because we really got to see people develop in front of our eyes.
We got to see people come into their own and become superstars.
In front of our eyes, literally. Like you watched Bayley come in looking like a straight up kid. To the world loving her by TakeOver Brooklyn. They were all behind her. Mainly thanks to the other horsewomen, Sasha, Becky, and Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And by the time she won that title, like, people were in tears. We had that deep of a connection to the people that were in NXT because we really grew with them.
Right.
It was like growing up with them. When Bayley came in, Izzy was like, what, 6, 7?
I think she's a little older than that, maybe 8 or so. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. She's like
a little kid.
Adolescence. Mm-hmm. And she's like a teenager training to be a wrestler now. And we watched that progression throughout the years because we loved watching Bayley. Mm-hmm. We watched Sasha start off as being I'm Not Ratchet with brown hair and, being all weird and crazy and stuff to like evolving. Year after year.
That's what they do,
until she became the boss. And we fell in love with the boss.
That's what they do, man. They evolved. All of them.
When she came into that purple hair and her real attitude, and by the time TakeOver Brooklyn came, and she came out in that limo with them 4 bodyguards, and I mean, We loved her. We loved her.
Yeah.
I fell in love with Charlotte the moment I saw her do a double moonsault. I had never seen a woman do the things that Charlotte could do in that ring. Never. She became my favorite wrestler, woman's wrestler of all time by the time her and Natty had that match for the NXT title when Paige relinquished it.
Now, before we go off the air, because we got about 10 minutes, yeah. There are a couple of things on the main roster I wanted to talk to. But I wanted to talk about. First one being the end of SmackDown this week.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Yeah, we
I all knew just it. Knew it.
We said that he wasn't going to get not one offensive move off.
So, Brock Lesnar comes out there. Brock Lesnar starts the show, and then Sami Zayn comes out, and Brock Lesnar intimidates Sami Zayn into asking for his match tonight. And then he comes out there for the match. Brock suplexes him a couple times, F5s him a few times, and then stands him up in the corner. And then here comes Roman, spear, and we're done. I just don't get the point of this. Why did they do it?
I guess to keep Sami Zayn being able to say there was a conspiracy against him. I don't know.
Like, bro. It's not even a conspiracy at this point.
Yeah, it's not. And a we conspiracy can see, if we see
what's
it.
Happening, and you know he's not just out the wall crazy making stuff up. Then no. It's not really that good of a conspiracy.
Right, this the is conspiracy real. Conspiracy is proven true.
Right, it's not real.
It's not a conspiracy anymore. It's just the truth.
Right, it's just the truth. And I can say to their credit. They did protect him a little bit because they did have Brock beat him up before the match. So it's not like he just took one spear and it's over.
Basically.
You know, I was not even expecting that, to be honest with you. I could have seen that happening if Brock Lesnar hadn't come out there, but I'm glad he did. So, right. You know, it wasn't complete just Roman just smashing him.
But he did. Yeah. And we called it because there was no purpose in them making Sami lose every week and then giving him a title shot, making us, there was no way we thought he was going to win anyway.
I said it last week.
The surprising part was that they protected him with Brock.
Exactly. I said it last week. If this match was not over quickly and decisively, I would be shocked.
And I actually would have thought Sami would have stood a chance. Well, I just would have wanted to see him hit the Blue Thunder Bomb and do the little pin thing. Hurry up! Hurry up! I love when he does that. When he goes for a pin, he's like, come on!
But that's the main event on SmackDown. And the main event on Raw this week was Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan. I've been looking forward to this match for weeks now because I felt like there was a good build-up to it. And there was. I feel like they did make Liv look like she could be a contender. Like, not even if she's going to win the title, but she didn't look weak in this story.
There was three things that ruined it for me. The tears was one when Becky's in her face talking about
trying
it.
Trying to build sympathy, Arch.
Don't like it. The second thing was the fact that they put it on Raw.
Right.
That threw me off. But then they made it a main event, which redeemed it, because titles do change hands on Raw in the main event.
And the thing of it was the exact same day, December the 6th.
Yeah.
Was the same day that Trish Stratus.
10 years to the day.
Not 10 years.
No, I mean, it was like 20 years to the day. 15?
2004 was that match. 17 years.
To the day.
Yeah, to the day that Trish Stratus and Lita main event at Raw for the women's title. And they did such a good job building it up that they were talking about it all week, you know.
I didn't like,
was plastered all over WWE's Instagram page.
I didn't like the fact that
is she gonna win?
They had this vignette right before.
Right, and they do everything in their power to believe that it could happen, or at least that, you know, it'd be a really, really good match. And it was a good match. It's just the damn anticlimactic finish, man.
The most devastating
shut up!
Reared his head again.
God, man.
it reared his head again. And is this going to become a regular thing for Becky?
That's the thing. That's another thing that incredibly annoys me, especially with Becky Lynch these days. All she does is the roll up and then the hand on the rope and it gets the win. That's how she beat Charlotte. That's how she retained the title in Saudi Arabia with Sasha and Becky, with Sasha and Bianca Belair. And that's how she won this week, man. Is that the only move she can do to win matches these days?
I guess she's listening.
I'm sick of the repetitive
devastating move in wrestling history. She rears his ugly head again. I'm sick of it. And that's what kind of made me. It was that finish was so anticlimactic, and the fact that everybody was already like ready to cheer for Liv for finally doing something, for finally getting this.
Like title. It's okay if she lost. I'd be fine with that. I just didn't have to do it like that, man. It's so damn dirty.
My thing is, I would have rather Becky got disqualified.
Or something like
for
that.
For the first time ever, I actually would have voted for the disqualification.
Yeah.
Because it would have gave Liv a reason to keep coming back for it.
I'm so hoping that
for me now.
I'm so hoping it can go a day one. Let's get Becky and Liv on this pay-per-view. Let's do this right, please. Please! Enough of your dirty roll-up, one hand on the rope pins!
The bottom rope.
I'm sick of it!
That bottom rope.
Hey, it's three matches since she's been back. At least three. Because there's probably more we're not even counting.
Yeah, because she had at least four against Bianca.
Yeah, she had quite a few matches against Bianca Belair.
And I think most of them she won with roll-up pins.
I'm sick of it.
Because I remember one where she took the turnbuckle off, she ran her into the turnbuckle, and then hit the roll-up pin.
Yep.
So, Becky's new finisher. And have you noticed that they've done this with the last couple Raw Women's Champions, with Nikki A.S.H. being the roll-up pin master, Becky being the roll-up pin master.
I hate it so much.
Being the roll-up pin master against Rhea. And
this
then the
is,
last
this,
match.
This is all your fault, Art. This is all your fault. You have to hype that damn move up. So now, oh, it's so great. Let's keep doing it. No, let's not.
I never
keep doing
said
it.
That it was great.
I don't want to hear from you. I
never said that it was the
game.
It is.
You
just,
say. You say the most devastating
it
move
is.
In history.
Hasn't it won the last championship?
Shut
for
up!
Becky? Is it not devastating?
Can we just?
I never said it was a great move. I just said it's the world's most devastating, and it's proven its point over and over and over. And tell them where to reach you.
Matt Lindsay on Facebook. Matt Lindsay 677 on Instagram. I'm over this, man. Jeez.
ArtDog1 on Instagram, ArtDog3 on Twitter. Forget the Gmail. That is hilarious. Oh, one more thing before we go. How do you feel about Dana Brooke having the 24/7 title? Because they don't show that on Hulu.
I feel like it's a new thing to wrap our heads around with the 24/7 title, because it's funny that the guys won't try to pin her because she's a girl.
But now the girls are running after
her. Yeah,
but
so now,
who will they pin?
I don't know.
As far as the girls go.
I guess we'll just have to see.
Shayna. I'm counting it to be Shayna. And one more thing they don't show on Hulu. Selena Vega.
I'm really liking this, you know. I asked for her to get more prominent wins, and she's starting to get them. I'm glad that they're pushing her up the card a little bit.
All right, man. That's all we got for this week. Come join us next week when we look back at the finest moments of the now-gone NXT. And now it's NXT 2.0. So we'll look back, take a look back, and name some of our favorite moments of NXT from the past. That means we got a relaxing week. We ain't really got to do too much homework. We know what we love. So we'll holler at you guys next week. This has been the Sons of Legends. Thank you guys for listening. Peace.
See you so long.